Well, the song that Jim just led ties in very well with our lesson this morning that comes from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 through 34. So I invite you to open your Bibles there, Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 through 34. We're going to be talking about Jesus teaching on worrying and anxiety and how to fight that. And he has some good things to say about that, and I hope that we will all be able to take a few lessons from Jesus this morning and apply them to our lives so that we can deal with the ongoing daily battle and struggle of worry. Well, in the text, Jesus is addressing this problem, and he speaks about the most basic elements that we worry about every day. And that is, of course, food, clothing, and shelter. God doesn't want us to worry about these things. He doesn't want us to be anxious over anything, really. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we read, "Be anxious for nothing." And so this isn't just good advice that Jesus is giving here. It's God's prescription for our spiritual health. It is his command for us to follow. And so what Jesus says in these verses, we should take them to heart and seek to apply them to our everyday lives. Let's read Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and listen to what Jesus says about this topic. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Well, Jesus gives us three things to think about on how to fight worry in our lives. First of all, he tells us that we need to understand our value. We are of more value than the birds of the air, and yet God takes care of them. Secondly, he tells us to have greater faith. If God clothes the grass of the field, will he not clothe us, O ye of little faith? So he challenges us to have greater faith. And then finally, he wants us to set the right priorities. Those three areas, I think if we will think about those three things, and we're going to look at these verses and talk about the meaning, but those three areas, if we will understand how to do those things, it will tremendously help us with the problem of worry. Now, Jesus is saying this, that worrying or being anxious about something only hurts us. It is destructive, it is not productive, and it ultimately will create problems in our lives that we really have no control over anyway. And so we need to fight worrying. It is one of those things that we must battle. on a daily basis, worrying about the basics, worrying about our necessities. And if the necessities are things that Jesus doesn't want us to worry about, then everything else that we worry about is something he doesn't want us to worry about either. So let's think about these three areas. To fight worrying, first of all, we must understand our value. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you are about to put on your body. And he says, look at the birds of the air. Are you not of more value than they? What is our value? Well, first of all, let's think about the value of the things that we worry about. You know, that's what Jesus is talking about here. What is the value of our food and our clothing and our shelter? What we can put a price on those things, right? And really, what Jesus is saying is this, that those things only have value for their usefulness. Sometimes we call that instrumental value. Their value to give us nutrition. They're valuable to keep us warm. And they perish when we use those things. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 22. You think about the food that we eat. What happens to it? It perishes as soon as we eat it. It gives us nutrition, but then it's gone. We have to eat again. What about the clothing that we wear? It perishes as we wear. That clothing wears out and we can't wear it anymore. We spend a great deal of time on upkeep of our shelter and making sure that everything is doing well. It's painted. It's taken care of. It's cleaned. Why? Because if we don't take care of it, it's going to wear out. It's going to fall down. And so those things only have value for their usefulness. But people are not like that. People have intrinsic value, value in and of themselves. Their value cannot be measured in terms of their utility. To measure people in terms of their utility is to devalue them. Now think about this for a minute. If I so worry about what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to put on and where I'm going to have shelter and all of those things, that I get defined by that, then what am I saying about my value? That I'm only worth as much as I can accomplish, or I'm only worth as much as what I can do. No. We are worth so much more than that. I'm not worth the some amount of dollars that it takes to put food on the table for my life and my family's life. I'm not worth that. I'm worth much more than that. And so are you. You're not worth the amount of money that it takes to build your house or to buy a house or to drive your car or whatever that might be. You're worth so much more than that. And to worry about those things is to say, well, I just don't value myself highly enough. I'm only as valuable as these things are. And that is not right. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He is telling us there that the whole world isn't even worth what you are worth, because you're worth so much more than that. How do we think about our possessions? How do we think about their utility? Do we understand that the things that we have, the possessions, the money, the things we spend a lot of time worrying about, that they're only tools? They're just there to get us from one place to another. That's it. But we, as people, are valuable. We are eternal in nature. God has made us to live forever. And would we then say that we're only as valuable as these temporary things? Peter said this, you were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. You see, we cannot be defined in terms of silver and gold. Put it all in a big heap. Put it all in a one place and put a person next to it. And which one is more valuable? The person wins out, because that is someone for whom Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross. That is someone for whom God sacrificed his only begotten Son. Where do we put our thoughts then? Where should our thoughts be when it comes to these things? If we truly understand that these things in the world are only valuable in terms of their utility and that they're just tools, then why do we spend so much time focusing on them, worrying about them, thinking about them? Where should our focus be? Should it not be on that which is eternally valuable? That is, instead of on the things that we have, should we not be focusing on the people in our lives? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25 says that we need to have the same care one for another. And that word care there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 is the same word that Jesus uses for worry here in Matthew 6. Have care for one another, not for the things of this world. And so to fight worry, first of all, we need to understand our value. But secondly, to fight worry, we need to have a greater faith in God. Look at verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field," God does that. "If he does that, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" You think about the springtime flowers that grow out in the field, and then the summer heat that comes along and just melts them away. Why? What is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about trusting in God. Where is our faith? We talked about this morning in our Bible class. Is our faith in things of the world? Is it in ourselves? Or is it in God? Why do we worry? Jesus said, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Luke 11, 22 through 24. You see, the solution to the problem of worry or anxiety is faith in God. It's trusting in God to provide. And that's the problem. We don't trust in God to provide. Jesus tells us God's going to take care of us. If he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the flowers of the field, is he not going to take care? We're more valuable than those things are. And yet, why do we not trust God? We trust God to feed the birds. We trust God to make the field beautiful. And he does it. Can we trust him to take care of us? What is God able to do about our needs? Well, he's able to make things so much better. If God can do the things that he does, he will certainly provide for us. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All your need. God will give us everything we need. Are we trusting in him to do that? You know, Abraham had trust issues also. He didn't quite know whether he should go to where God originally called him to go to, so he went a little bit ways and he stopped and he settled down. And then God had to come back and say, "Abraham, come on a little further, come on to the land of Canaan." He got down the land of Canaan and he was a little worried about that place. So he went to Egypt and God said, "Come on back to the land of Canaan." And then there were all kinds of tests, you know, and God kept testing him. testing his faith. Abraham, are you really going to trust in me? Over and over again, he tested him. Now, why did he do that? So we would have an example of what it means to have faith. And ultimately, God gave Abraham the ultimate test. Now, he doesn't do that to us, but he did it to Abraham as an example to show us. And he said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son that you love, and offer him to me. And that was the final test. And when he passed that test, God said, now I know. But it wasn't God who needed to know. It was Abraham who needed to know. He needed to know that he could trust God regardless of what might happen in this life. Why do we not have more faith in God? Are we afraid? Do we not think that God can take care of the challenges that face us? Are there worldly influences in our life that are affecting our judgment? Do we lack patience in waiting on God? Do we think we know better than God? Sometimes that's the biggest problem. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. We've got to trust in God. The key to dealing with worry and anxiety is putting our faith in God. And then finally, in order to fight worry or anxiety, we've got to set the right priorities in our lives. And that's verses 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows what our needs are, and he is always working to provide. Now, David believed that, and because he believed it, he wrote these famous words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Everyone should know where that comes from. Psalm 23 and verse 1. I shall not want. What does that word want mean? It means lack. I'm not going to lack anything. God is going to provide all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. All of my needs are taken care of. Do we believe that? Do we believe that the Lord our God is a sun and shield, that the Lord will give grace and glory, that no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly? Psalm 84, verse 11. Do we believe what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verses 29 through 31 when he said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Oh, yes. God knows what our needs are, and he's working to provide for them, and he has always been working to provide for them. What do we need to focus on then? We need to focus on the right priorities. And what are the right priorities? It's not what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to wear and what my shelter is going to be. That's not the right priorities. What are they? Jesus tells us what they are right here. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And then he says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against his kingdom. The kingdom and the church, that's the right priority. We need to be helping one another. We need to be seeking one another. And I'm not talking about physical needs necessarily. Yes, physical needs are important. But look, that falls into the same category as what we're going to eat and what we're going to be clothing with and what our shelter is going to be. That's physical needs. God is saying, don't worry about that. What is our focus to be? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? In Romans 10 and verses 3 and 4, Paul says, regarding some of his Jewish brethren, he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What is that righteousness that we need to be seeking? It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in my life. Jesus Christ in your life. More of Christ in every one of our lives. That's the priority. God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What does worrying about food and clothing and shelter and other things physical in nature cause us to do? It causes us to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not so much concerned about the gospel anymore as we are about the physical needs of people. The Bible doesn't teach that. Yes, physical needs are important. But God is saying, I will provide for those things. You think about the gospel. You think about my righteousness. You think about Jesus Christ and how those things apply to your lives and how they might apply to other people's lives in your life. You focus on those spiritual matters. And I will provide these physical things that you need and that everyone knows you need and that I know you need, God says. We must understand the priorities. And by setting our focus on the right priorities, that's going to eliminate the worry within our lives. If we're thinking about the gospel, we're thinking about how we can teach our children the gospel. We're thinking about how to help our spouse with the gospel. We're thinking about how we can be a great influence for the gospel in this community. If we're thinking about our friends and our neighbors and how we can evangelize them to help them understand the gospel, do you think we're going to be thinking about food and clothing and shelter? We're not. And guess what? God will provide those things for us. Jesus' final advice here is this. Live one day at a time. One day at a time. Set your priorities on the right things and then live one day at a time. Jeremiah wrote this in Lamentations 3 in verses 22 through 24. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. That's where our trust needs to be to fight worrying. First of all, we've got to understand our value. It's so much greater than the things we spend in our minds so much time on worrying about food, clothing, shelter, etc., etc., etc. Secondly, we've got to have greater faith in God. God knows. God provides. He's demonstrated that numerous times in the past, how he has provided for his people. How many times does he have to prove it to us? Let's have greater faith in God. And let's set the right priorities. If we're focused on God's kingdom and his righteousness, focus on those spiritual matters, things which are eternally important. The worries of this world are not going to plague us. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Satan used that very simple temptation on Jesus. Jesus was hungry, and Satan said, if you're the Son of God, take these stones and turn them to bread and eat, because I know you are starving. Just give in to the flesh. Give your mind over to what you desire physically. What was Jesus' reply? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what we need. That's what we need more than anything. Let's resolve not to worry. Let's resolve to understand how valuable we are. Let's resolve to put our faith in God. Let's resolve to set our priorities and keep to them. These are good things that God wants us to do with our lives. And we can do it. And this morning, if you need help doing that, then you're welcome to come and ask for that help. And we'll do the best we can to help you. Or maybe you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God. And worry plagues your life. And you want relief from that constant anxiety. Bring your cares to the Lord this morning. Hear his word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess him as the Lord of your life. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And we will work with you to bring those priorities in focus and help you to live your life to be faithful to Him. Whatever your need may be, you can come make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.